Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Why Fish Radio. We are in now, what, episode 67, I believe, this week? Yeah, it's 67. Anyway, the two of us haven't been together in a while, and we're all back. Brad, lots to catch up on, lots of things going down.
Absolutely. We're into the open water season. We've hit the ground running on that front. Right now, I mean, it's that time of year. People start opening their cabins, enjoying their summer getaways, and we're at mine right now. Without getting too specific, we're in far northern Minnesota, within a stone's throw of the Canadian border. This is my little getaway, the place to escape the rat race and enjoy some peace and quiet. Unfortunately, right now, this is only a brief stopover, but it would be nice to stay a few more days.
It's called Why Fish on Location. The only problem is we're on location for long enough to do Why Fish.
We're on our way back from a fishing trip and seemed like we needed a little break in the road, so here we are. Brad, what have you been up to? I know you've been you got a little jump start, I guess, on the open water fishing.
Well, as I explained in show 66, was going to be taking a little vacation and had to make some arrangements for some interviews. As anybody who's heard it was with Catfish Billy about E-Tackle Direct and catfishing, but had a good interview with him and took off for some fun on the water out at Devil's Lake. The channels were open, and I tell you, we went out, did some work and on the house, and decided to go fishing Sunday, and it was a little cool, a little windy. I don't know, hardly pleasant weather, but you know how spring is. But got into some northerns and got to feel the old open water pole bend a little bit, and fortunately for me, the vacation hit on two back-to-back 70-degree days with no wind, and it was just northern mayhem.
You got lucky, because I recall the forecast for a couple of those days were not looking nearly so favorable early on, but for once, the weather actually took a change for the better, and it's kind of nice when that happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that's worth mentioning here is it was northern mayhem, and it's one of the greatest opportunities of the year for people who don't have boats because the fish are moving up on the shore, but they're really easy to catch. And one of the things I was noticing is people were really trying to cast into the fast water, and they weren't doing that well, but the fish were running the edges, and we're talking the length of your rod from you, drop it straight down and get it into that 2-3 foot of water off the break, and it was amazing. And you know, I had the opportunity to share that little tip with a guy from Minnesota who's serving our country in the Air Force, and it made a good day, a great day for him. Just that one little tip to stay closer and don't cast.
Well, it's a real kind of a temptation when you're fishing from shore. There's that idea that, well, I'm on this side, the fishing's got to be much better if I can cast that sucker just as far as I can, try to loft it across the river or the creek or whatever, you know, the case may be there. But that's not always the case. I mean, you know, current breaks and, the lay of the land can dictate that being close to shore is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we got to do the smelt and the northerns on the bobber next to the shore, and they were taking crankbaits. They were taking spoons. I never did put a spoon on, but had a lot of fun with the jig and the twister tail. That was a good time. And get this, I caught about 15 northerns with two different jigs, and I still have them both. No leader.
No leader. Well, you know you're having a good luck streak when that happens, because normally you set the hook and chunk, it's gone.
Yeah, that's about it. I even had a couple wrapped up through the gill breakers and still got it back, but that was a nice trip. It was just nice to get out, sit on the shore, nobody really pressure, and the weather was good. It was only April 10th and 11th, so, you know, weather can go either way on that stretch, but on to bigger and better things. Year number two, we shared the first one, Sturgeon Excursion 2. That's why we're sitting where we're sitting, talking about what we're talking about, because we're just on the way home from that.
Absolutely. We got a chance to spend a couple days near the mouth of the Rainy River, where it flows into Lake of the Woods. Popular spot. It's sort of a gathering place for sturgeon this time of year. They begin to stage right at the mouth and, getting ready to head up river or out into the lake to do their annual spawning run, which will happen here, later later in the spring. There's still a few weeks off on that front, but it's just an area where a lot of big fish congregate. You have a chance at catching a real big fish. I think maybe we got spoiled. You got spoiled a little bit last year for that introductory taste of sturgeon fishing, so the bar is set pretty high, and we got brought back down to earth a little bit this time. We still caught some fish, but it was tougher than last year overall, and we really struggled with the wind. I mean, the wind was just relentless. The good thing about it is we had a great homemade anchor. The thing doesn't weigh a ton, but it held up in that wind and that current, and once we dropped that hook, we were set in place, and I felt good about that.
Well, this trip, I mean, it was an experience on a lot of different levels. Like you said, I got spoiled last year. I got spoiled. I'll be the first one to say I got spoiled. You know, 3 over 50 inches and 1 over 60. That's huge for your first time out. So, you know, that's, like you said again, the high bar. But, you know, we didn't break the 60 mark, which broke another level of the chain, your streak.
Absolutely. The thing about streaks, though, is they only last so long, and pretty soon they end. And, I mean, I had a pretty good one going for the past 5 years. Either myself or somebody I was in the boat with caught a sturgeon that was 60 inches or better, the biggest being one that I caught 3 years ago. That was 65 inches. Never even got a chance to weigh that fish, but, I mean, we're talking about a fish that's 80 pounds. You know, massive fish, and there's bigger ones than that out there. So, I mean, that's what's exciting about it. It's just that, you know, just knowing that every time you feel that little slight nibble at the end of your line, it could be a fish like that. And we didn't find him this year. We got him up to about 53 inches, but, you know, you're still talking about a 30-plus pound fish. And any way you measure it, that's not a bad deal.
Well, and on another level, and we've been saying this, I don't know if we've ever said it on the air or not, but we've had 3 years of nothing but good trips, and we always been kind of saying we're due for a poor one, we're due for a bad one. Now, I wouldn't classify this as bad, but I think it bit. I mean, we got that poor trip. Hopefully it's the last one this year.
I tell you what, I saw enough wind these past 2 days to keep me happy the rest of the summer, but you know, it probably won't be the case. I'd say we made the best of it, and I mean, looking at the other boats out there, we did as well as anyone. We moved a lot, we did everything we needed to do. And occasionally we're, you know, rewarded for it, but struggled a little bit compared to last year. And again, you know, no 2 years are the same. Who knows why the fish behave the way they do? That's what makes it fun. That's what keeps you going back. You just never know. And I tell you what, there will be, you know, this is an annual event. It's not to be missed.
I'm sure there will be a sturgeon excursion 3 and 4 and 12 and 18. I don't know, I'll be ready for retirement if I get a few more over 60, hopefully.
Well, I tell you what, they give you everything you want and more. You know, the two fish that I caught today, one was 50 inches, one was 53 inches. And again, you think about it, that's a really quite an amazing thing. There's, you know, not a lot of people that can say they've caught, you know, a 50-inch plus fish, maybe over the course of a year, maybe over the course of their lifetime. And, to, you know, be able to catch two of them in a day on what would probably be considered a slow day, that's a pretty amazing thing, and, you know, I guess we're real fortunate to live where we do and to, you know, be able to have access to those kinds of opportunities.
And, yes, we did get one memory that's going to be the joke of the trip for years and years to come.
And I tell you what, I'm going to let you tell this story because, you know, you set the stage on this one, and I don't know if you have ESP or what, but I tell you what, I'd be throwing my bet in your corner if there's any kind of a lottery at stake here.
Basically, we had about 8 in the boat, I think, at that point, and it was getting towards the end of the evening. We just moved into one of our favorite spots again for, had to have been the 3rd or 4th time during the day we had been in there, and just set up, threw the anchor, launched it out, grabbed my phone out of my pocket and said, "I feel like catching a fish. I think I'll call my wife." Well, you know, that's like, I think I'll make a sandwich so I catch a fish. It just, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, got the rod set up, hit the speed dial. My wife picks up and says hello, and I go, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, gotta go, got a fish," and I hung up on her, and I nailed a 49-incher. It was that fast. It was just perfect. Couldn't have been timed any better. You would have swore it was picking on the line when I hit the speed dial button just so I could get it to work, but It was the real deal, and it was funny.
All I could do was laugh. I mean, it was just too amazing that would happen. What are the odds? Probably not real high. But sure enough, there he is on the phone, telephone in one hand, fishing rod in the other. all of a sudden you could see that line tighten up and that rod wanted to take off for the border, and he had no choice. He had to say, you know, talk to you later, honey. I got a fish on here. So I don't, you know, I'm sure she was just thrilled by that turn of events, but she got a good laugh out of it, I'm sure, as we all did. Just amazing that something like that would happen. And, you know, every trip, I think, has probably one of its defining moments, you know, a story that will always go down as being one of the kind of standards from a given trip. And that definitely was on this trip.
Well, it's always fun when you get something funny like that that happens, because it's just something you can joke about from years to years to years to years. Go back to last year. The big joke of the sturgeon excursion last year was our good friend Bob Jensen, when he saw another guy's 51-incher surface and he's holding this little tiny net, and he raised his hand to the DNR boat. I don't think this net's going to work.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And, you know, of course, in just about the exact same spot, there was the 59-inch sturgeon that I happened to hook by the anal fin. Now, how do you manage to do that? I have no idea, but I did. Just about cleaned off every inch of line on my reel. I was down to bare metal. We pulled anchor, went after that fish, somehow got it into the boat. And like I say, it was 59 inches to hook that by the tail. Great story. And I mean, it was just a great experience, a great thing to be a part of. And, you know, this was sort of that version this year. And again, pretty much in that same spot. So no wonder it's one of our favorites.
Well, yeah. And I suppose we should give some tips, since the sturgeon season's still young, for anyone who wants to make it up. First and foremost, this year had to have been the net. We finally scored a net that'll handle the big boys. And man, you could lose a 53-incher in that thing.
I tell you what, you could almost lose your boat in that thing. It's a frable musky net, and I don't remember what the size of the hoop is on this net, but it is just absolutely...
It's as wide as the box of my pickup.
Yeah, it's absolutely massive, and if there's a fish out there that won't fit in this net, I don't think I want any. I don't want any part of it, because it's, you know, it's crosses into that scary realm. We, you know, even the 53-inch fish today, I mean, it was like a minnow in a, you know, it just... The net just dwarfed that thing.
And the idea behind it is, it's going to be expensive, but if you're going to go to the trouble of going to catch such a magnificent fish, you should be geared up for it. Another thing, that 53 I caught, which I should mention was 53. You caught the 53. 49 I caught last night. It was tagged, which was kind of cool. So we'll find out some history, and hopefully we'll have a story to go with that eventually. But he had a hook in his mouth, like a one-aught... I don't know, I would call it maybe a small catfish hook with about a 10-pound line on it. And whoever caught him before just wasn't geared correctly for that. And I think that's just doing the fish a disservice. Of course, you're going to catch him by accident walleye fishing or whatever. But when you're targeting him?
Yeah, it's unsportsmanlike to do that. I mean, because it puts a lot of stress on those fish. And, I mean, let's face it, they're a fragile resource. I mean, this is a species of fish that's just coming back, you know, from being on the realm of, you know, maybe not extinction, that would be exaggerating a little bit, but in this body of water, their population was very low, and they're rebounding nicely, and to harm those fish in any way, I think it's a real unfortunate thing. So gear up. I mean, we use 30-pound test line, heavy-duty catfish rods, you know, Abu Garcia 6,500 reels. We're set up. We're loaded for bear with these fish. And even so, there's a lot of times they'll give you everything you want and more. I've had sturgeon come tail-walking out of the water, snap 30-pound test line like it's just a little piece of string. So you got to set up heavy. It'll be a lot more fun for you. It's a lot easier on the fish. And, you know, like I say, once it happens, hang on and enjoy the ride.
And I don't think getting set up with that's all that expensive, and it's going to last you the rest of your life anyway if you buy the rod and the reel. And okay, you should change your line every couple years, blink wink wink.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I was a little remiss, especially on my one reel. What I did find out on this trip, you know, the first trip of the season is kind of one of those ones where you work the bugs out, and no bugs on the boat front. The boat ran great. All those things went fine. But I have a couple of reels that need a little bit of work. They need new line on them. They need to be cleaned up and oiled and taken care of, which I am vastly, grossly, I should say, negligent on. I tend to just put them away for the fall, and there they sit till next spring. And I tell you what, I'm only about two big fish from disaster on either one of those reels right now. So got a little work in front of me. It'll get done.
Well, you got to feel a nice new clean one today using mine, so you're welcome.
Yeah, I might forget to give that one back. It just seems to fit so nicely on that rod.
Anyway, folks, get out and do some sturgeon fishing. The northern run's going good up in Devil's Lake, and I'm sure there's going to be some walleyes following. get up and enjoy it while you can. This is the time for everyone to enjoy. It's not that hard. It's not that expensive either way. So we just want you to get up and enjoy it and get out. And, you know, winter's long. Get out and enjoy it. So I think that's going to do it. We just got to cover some sponsor mentions. Cats on the Red. What, 3 weeks to opener for Cats on the Red. Cats, a little flooding going on, but there's going to be some catfish to be caught here in a couple weeks. Check them out, catsonthered.net, and that phone number, because I never remember it.
That'd be area code 204-757-9876.
Don't forget to sign up to go fishing with Kent from Trophy Cat Adventures out of Grand Forks. We're going to draw for that in just two more shows, so get your name, address, telephone number on an email to contest@whyfishradio.com so we can get you entered into that and hopefully get you on the Red River here later this summer with Kent. Also, don't forget, we're brought to you by Today's Tackle, home of the Wave Buster Bobber, which is going to come in handy after today and all that fun wind. You look like you have a comment. You can't even think of it on that one.
Yeah, oh, the wind just it just absolutely sucked the life right out of me, and my face right now feels like I had it in the oven for the past hour. You know, it's probably about the same color, but it takes a lot out of you. But, you know, again, despite the wind, I was really happy to have an anchor that held, because I've been out there before in big wind, and anchoring has just been a slow drift, which is very frustrating. And we did not have that trouble this trip. So, you know, try to look on the bright side, and that definitely was a bright side. So for now, I guess that wraps up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.